And now the much-awaited musical break. This is the Capital Steps, usually a pretty vanilla group, singing, I guess it was more at least 6 months ago, a Joe Biden parody, Can You Feel the Rub Tonight? This, of course, had to do with Tara Reid accusing him of felony sexual assault. Well, Joe Biden sings a song about how lovable and touchy-feely he can be around women of any age. And here it is.
I've got to remember, people tell me, Joe, when you get that handsy urge, you should let it go. But I've got strong affection, that's just what I do. I might want to rub your neck or smell your new shampoo. Just being me, I would be the perfect president in 1953. Gender roles are shifting, of that I am well versed. I'm reaching out to everyone, just touching women first. People want to change me, but that is for the birds. I simply will remind myself her ass is not two words. And if you feel the rub tonight, I've not thought this through. I live my life by this philosophy. What would Hugh Hefner do? To let you go, I can announce I've signed a new book deal called 50 Shades of Joe.
So next up we have a little holiday spirit, I guess that's what you'd call it. Folks eating together, relaxing, listening to a band. This is at the parking lot from which Food Not Bombs was evicted by city mangler Martine Bernal and his cohorts, a month or two ago now? And he moved across the street eventually to Lot 22, which is right behind Taco Bell. But for the purposes of the Thanksgiving, for there to be more space, for a band to be able to play, for people to be able to eat in a properly spaced out manner, for those who follow those rules and believe in them, Food Not Bombs moved back to parking lot 27, which is right across the street from parking lot 22 and right next to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. So I happened upon it as the in the closing hour of the meal. I think it had been going for a couple hours before I got there. Started at noon and went on until 3, I believe. Maybe went on further. And there were a number of meals on Thanksgiving. I always am a little bit sarcastic about how charitable burgers of Santa Cruz roll out the carpet for folks on Thanksgiving and Christmas and the rest of the year. Catch as catch can. Get into a program and maybe get fed at Coral Street. I guess you will get fed if you're in a program, if you're at least in the Pauley Loft and the Paige Smith Community House. But these are relatively small programs compared to the total number of people who need food. And also the original free meal, which was the actual kind of cornerstone and foundation of the Coral Street complex, which then later became a social service grab, all maintaining the illusion of providing housing to people, while in fact what they're really doing is serving to keep homeless people out of the downtown and attract some federal and private funding, to set up a kind of, well, it's temporary. It's an indoor shelter for a number of people with some rather stiff regulations. We're not just talking about drug use, but curfews and locked gates and ID requirements coming in and out and guards at the gates. I mean, it's very sort of reminiscent of the prison system to me. I haven't been in there much. Maybe it's gotten looser, more reasonable. And indeed, they apparently were very generous and set out two watch stations in front of their place. And they also are two porta potties at the end of the street, which they have fenced off almost entirely. People who were along sleeping along the street, now people are at least a block away. They've been removed from the railroad tracks, removed from the area along intersecting streets out there. And now they're all in the, I guess you'd call it the river plain, the flood plain, the drainage plain or ditch, adjacent to Highway 1. And there are scores of tents along there. And I did one series of interviews a few weeks ago. Time for me to go out there again, but haven't done that today or recently, but who knows, maybe I will. I'm sort of wandering from the basic point, which is that here's some thoughts from the people on the Food Not Bombs lot, both volunteers and the folks eating there. Unedited, uncensored, probably unnecessary, but here it is. Sharing the holiday cheer, you would say. And it's about 15 to 2 over here in Lot 27. Howdy. Where I haven't been since, it's been a while. Food Not Bombs.
What are you doing? You're in the game. You're in the game. We got to say that everybody famous showed up to this suck thing.
Including Randolph Scott, who's across the street.
Randolph Scott?
Randolph Talley, actually.
Really?
He's coming across.
Everything's going right, Dad. Everything's going good.
That's Keith McHenry. Hey, folks, here's the free spirits for you. People can sell them. People can read them. So how's business today?
Busy.
A lot of customers.
There's definitely a lot of people who need her in need.
It's a little hard to hear you, but I think probably the audience can. this is a clothing table, and this is your first reappearance here in a month and a half, right? This particular location.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
You're a volunteer for the day. What's your name?
Jolie.
Have you been doing anything with Food Not Bombs before?
Yeah, I've done a few things with them. You know, like at different occasions, different years. You know.
How long have you been here today?
Probably a few hours.
And anything interesting happening? A lot of folks.
Honestly, just how kind our community is, and how giving, and how even during the pandemic, there's so much kindness still.
No problems with the police or authorities?
No problems with the police or authorities, yeah.
Have you sampled the food?
I heard there's some great stuff. Companion and India Joe's and some nice pies. So it looks like a great, great outcome and turnout.
Cranberry sauce, turkey, traditional gobble gobble on National Slaughter Day, National Turkey Slaughter Day.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure they have stuff like that. Yeah, which is interesting, right? Because Food Not Bombs usually does vegetarian food.
Yeah, I think they're partnering with Joe Schultz, who does he was telling me he's going to doing a turkey soup.
Yeah, turkey soup.
Well,
That's interesting.
Say that again?
That is interesting, right? Like that. Usually it's all vegetarian, but this time they are doing turkey soup.
Yeah, I think the theory is not only is it Thanksgiving, but also a matter of protein for people who are used to meat are not getting much of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, anything you want to add?
No, thank you for everything you do for the community.
I'm a wonder worker for sure. And your name again?
Jolie.
Thanks, Jolie. Radio wants to know, how's the food?
It's my favorite Thanksgiving dinner ever.
And have you been an old-time Santa Cruz?
About 20 years.
What makes it your favorite? Is it the food? Is it the company? Is it the, what is it?
It's the love and the food and people's ability to laugh at the turkey jokes.
Now, do you have any jokes for us today?
Is the Pope Catholic? Of course I do. It's how come turkeys eat so fast?
Tell me.
Because they're gobblers.
Very well. What about another winner?
Why the turkey cross the road?
Why?
Prove that he wasn't a chicken.
That's a little better. I kind of like that one. You have a third one for a third strike?
Why are ants so healthy?
Tell me.
Because they have little antibodies.
Yeah, that took me a little while to come around to that one, but I think I got it. And what's your name?
I'm Brian. My stage name is Brian O'Brien. You have two chances to remember my name. So what's this for?
Free Radio Santa Cruz on the net.
Oh, okay. So what's the website?
It's freakradio.org. I'll give you a card.
Okay.
What kind of an act do you do?
Well, I do just dad jokes, pretty much. But it's fun making up stories. Like, my nephew's a vet, so this is a seasonal joke. Last year, he had to perform a very rare operation on a dog. It's called tinselectomy. Tinselectomy, huh?
It may take a few years to figure out that one. Here's my card.
Oh, great. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, you can archive this. And again, we've been talking with...
My name's Brian Smythe. My stage name is Brian O'Brien. And my dad was born in Ireland, so you know why some Irishmen can't sing very well? Because they can't get past the first two bars.
Well, that's both, I would say, a hate crime joke against your Irish friends, as well as a lame joke. Brian, you're going to have to work on that.
I made you groan, though.
Well, I guess that's, I do those, too. Well, thank you. Is there anything you want to add here?
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm Robert.
Beautiful day, and thanks for all the service you're doing.
It was nothing.
I love what your little sign says, do you want to be feared or loved? So we all have a choice every second to choose love or fear, so love is the way to go.
Hard to trust. Thanks, Brian.
If you ever want to talk to me about Planet X, I'll be happy to do that for you, too.
Do you have a website people can reach you on? You're shaking.
Just Facebook. Or in Instagram. So Facebook is Brian Smythe, my Irish name.
Thanks, Brian. The food line is longer than usual. We've got, it's called the Santa Cruz Community Thanksgiving Meal. I'm counting, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's about 7 tables long. And as usual, it's... white roped off so that nobody gets COVID, hopefully. And it looks like a lot of tasty looking desserts. Are you the dessert man?
Yeah, I suppose so. I've been called worse.
You give everybody their desserts, but not necessarily their just dessert.
That's correct. It's not my job to hand out just desserts. So.
Is there a favorite dessert here that keeps getting taken and everything else gets left behind?
Not really. A lot of people like apple, other people like berry. It varies from person to person.
Now, is there any chocolate here?
No, I don't believe so. I'm sorry.
What kind of a dessert place, isn't it?
Yeah, not a very good one. No chocolate. I mean, how do you survive with that? Chocolate is the one basic food group, so you need it.
It's certainly a basic food. I think you do have some various rolls and... hope these aren't 3-day-old rolls.
I don't know. We're just handing them out. We don't know how old some of this stuff is.
Nobody's broken their teeth on them yet.
I don't know.
So,
you're putting this on your radio show?
Tonight from 6 to 8.
Oh, okay.
Anything you've seen today that struck you one way or another? And I don't necessarily mean people with, big fists, right?
Well, just meeting some of the different people is interesting, talking to people. Everyone's unique, and so I get to learn something about people, what they think and how they feel, and a lot of different things. Sorry?
Coffee? Serving a cup of coffee here, and the beat goes on. I'm counting about, 60 or 70 people there, and they're probably twice that number of black chairs that are all over the lot that have been set up for the purpose of presumably social distancing. Even the occasional African American face. Anything you want to conclude with?
Sorry?
Anything else you want to say?
Thank you. Thanksgiving, so thank you and thank God, thank Jesus.
Well, thank you for serving us desserts, even though you don't have chocolate.
I'm sorry.
All right. Don't let this happen again.
All right.
We've been talking with
Tom Wayman.
This year's been a happy Thanksgiving.
It's been a happy Thanksgiving for me. It's a wonderful scene here. We got a band. It's unusual that we have a lot of chairs for people to sit on. That's uncommon for Food Not Bombs, etc. And there's a few people not happy today that they're not normally happy. I wish they would cheer it up more, but it's a wonderful scene. We got 60-plus pies. India Joe cooked a wonderful turkey thing. Plenty of people helping. A lot of people I know. You're here. Now, are you going to eat any turkey?
I might. I'm weighing my options.
But here's what I wonder. Is the president going to pardon the turkeys?
Well, he is the primary turkey, so he better pardon himself first.
You do realize it's a joke, because he did pardon the turkeys, but what I'm referring to is the people who work for him.
Oh,
well, these are the turkeys I'm talking about.
Right. I understand that turkey pardoning thing. Really, I'm more concerned with the millions of other turkeys that get slaughtered.
Flynn was the first turkey he pardoned. But here's the thing. The president believes he won. And yet, what he's doing now is probably going to pardon 100 or more people. And that's what you do at the end of your term, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but remember, one term can lead to another. Like, for example, a jail term.
Would you visit him?
I don't think he would want to see me particularly.
Anyway, I appreciate you and what you're doing, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
And for the purpose of this broadcast, your name is...
Nameless One.
You know that. Thank you, Nameless One.
You know that.
Well, I know. I don't know what your Nameless One name of the moment is. So.
Sky. We'll go with Sky, because the sky is pretty today. I don't see one cloud anywhere in the sky.
No, it's pretty blue.
That's unusual in Santa Cruz to not see a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, it's been kind of a frosty few days.
It's been beautiful.
Up in Felton, it's been frosty. Thank you, Sky.
Take care, man.
Yeah, I like this button here. I don't die from oil.
For sure.
Yeah. I was in the military before this a while ago.
So you were telling me, Brian, you were in the military before, for how long?
Yeah, I was in for 5 years.
And what kind of killing did you do?
None. I joined pretty much after with the units I was with. No, I never went overseas or anything.
Did you support any of our valiant killers?
I was in. I was doing the job.
Yeah, it must have been. Now, did you have to sign up for 5 years, or did you, did you stay on year after year?
No, that was my initial contract, and then I got out.
Any comments about that kind of life there compared to the civilian life?
I prefer the civilian life. I don't like being told what to do. And, yeah, I mean, I would say I disagree with the use of the military predominantly.
Are you overseas predominantly or here?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of half and half, but overseas was on mainland Japan.
I hear the prostitution business does pretty well for the military over there.
What was it?
The prostitution business in Japan does pretty well.
Yeah, I know the Japanese really don't want a military presence there.
There's a large movement in Okinawa to get rid of the base. Right.
Right. Yeah, like protesters have been protesting for years at the gates, I've heard.
You didn't go out and mingle with the protesters?
No, I was on the mainland in a really small town, and we didn't have that many protesters. But there was still, yeah, somewhat of a divide between the Japanese locals and the American military presence.
I guess I'll leave it there unless there's more you want to say.
No, I think that's good. I'm going to get back to it. But yeah.
Don't let your food get too cold. And
yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Nice to meet you.
Any reports from the street? Any report? How are you enjoying the food? I'm doing this for free radio.
Not pretty good.
What's your name?
My name's Devin.
Is this your first Food Not Bombs meal?
Yeah, it's my first time here around this area.
And what do you make of it?
It's really nice. Great day and sun. Happy Thanksgiving. Hi. Right.
Which neck of the world are you from?
California.
How's the city treating you?
Great food, Thanksgiving, Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz on Front Street, right?
No hassles with police, etc.?
Everything's been pretty even. It's all fair.
And so when you're sleeping, nobody's bothering you at night?
Yeah, no one bothers me. It's getting really cold lately. Just watch out, it's really cold. Stay warm. Your head or something.
No hassles with other, no loss of property through other folks.
No, no problems, no hassles with anybody. It's been all fair.
Sounds good. Anything strike you in the last few days particularly that you think you want to pass on to people?
No, I don't want to bring anybody to think of anything too in particular at all.
And again, we've been talking with.
I'm Devin Chevelle.
Thank you, man. Nothing in particular? How's the food? Let me ask you that.
I stayed right over there, so I hadn't started on yet. Oh, I can, pie. Cherry pie was good.
Well, I saw the pie, but I wanted chocolate cream myself.
Well, I wanted coconut, too.
Nobody had any chocolate cream. It's a sad story. I think I may go through the line again. Try a bite. There's some more pies arriving as we speak.
Yeah, it's down now, I think.
Are you outside yourself?
No, I'm at a motel.
How is it in the motel?
It's good so far. See?
Have you got a card around your neck there? It's that's the pad. Now, is it Santa Cruz or Watsonville?
No, it's right over here.
What's the name of the motel?
Shinona or something like that. Motel just right over there.
You're pointing toward Ocean Street.
Well, it's right over there.
And
away from the park.
Are many other people in the motel? Is this something? Did you get this because of vulnerability to COVID or?
No, I just had a couple ladies help me. That's all. And I didn't know about that. Huh. Something to do with the government kept safe for it.
What drew you to this motel? Did you just visit with you? How did you hear about it?
A lady I know told me. Yeah. I already know a few ladies stayed there. So they said they were staying. They don't stay there very long sometimes because they get kicked out. I mean, they're for drugs and drinking.
Is there a lot of folks that are... I take it this is a motel for people who are... vulnerable to COVID or
nothing like that. I'm just on drugs. Like, well, a lot of them.
And again, what's your name?
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Robert Jerry.
Yeah, I know you.
You've seen me around, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen before. I'm kind of shy until I find something to say.
I can't hear everything you're saying, but I think maybe the microphone can.
Yeah, it caught me. I did too many things to say. But I'm not shy. I'm not shy like I used to be when I was a kid. I wouldn't talk to nobody.
And I guess I'm going to leave it with that. And again, we've been talking with...
Yeah, I'm...
Jerry. That's
Jerry.
You. Say it again.
I'm Jerry here. JJ.
Right. That's what I think that's what I heard. Thank you, man. Oh, quick interview for Free Radio.
Yeah.
We're talking with...
Matt.
Let's get you out of the way in case the cars start coming in. So what brings you here? Is you have a spread the strike, resist the UC. That's the Cola for All stuff, right?
Yeah. I was involved in the Cola for All stuff. I wasn't an organizer or anything, but I'm just doing my best to immerse myself in the struggles that are going on in the community. That's what kind of brings me out here today, you know, to do work with Food Not Bombs.
A hammer and sickle on your hat, mister.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm actually a Marxist-Leninist. I've been members of different revolutionary communist parties. That's pretty much, you know, part of my political work is that I want to organize and, you know, I'm for revolution.
So how big is the CP or whatever CP we're talking about here in Santa Cruz?
As far as I know, I'm not sure. I haven't really met any significant revolutionary forces like that in the area. I know I've been connected with folks in Berkeley and L.A. It's all different factions, unfortunately. You know, we know the left is really divided in this country. So, yeah, there's a lot of progressive forces out here. There's lots of people that are under the socialist banner. There's anarchist forces. I think there's a solid foundation for good work to be done in this area.
What kind of struggles have you been involved in other places or here? Or have you been here for long?
I've been here for about a year, but it's been on and off. As far as struggles that I've been involved with, I was involved in the climate action, obviously, the global climate action. I was with the Revolutionary Communist Party at that time. I was involved in multiple protests and strikes. I was involved in... the March Against Fascism. It was a group that was trying to take down Revolution Books in Berkeley. Since coming to Santa Cruz, I was involved in the UC strikes. As a supporter, I got a little bit into some of the meeting spaces and was trying to figure out how I could contribute to a higher level, and then COVID hit. So since COVID hit, I was actually in a group called the Nick Bayan, which is a Filipino student organization. So I've been involved in the struggle for national democracy in the Philippines and the ousting of Duterte, who's the dictator of the Philippines. So, yeah, a lot of anti-imperialist struggle, a lot of anti-capitalist struggle. I'm looking forward to more struggles. I'm out here struggling against, you know, one of the most reprehensible aspects of life here in Santa Cruz, which is the problem of houselessness, which is really pathetic when we look at the wealth that comes out of this particular county.
Yeah, well, that's the group I work with, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're a minuscule group, but, you know, we've been plugging away for years, at least putting out little cries of alarm and some educational efforts. Do you have a number or an email where you can be reached? Yeah, I can take it off my... So... Again, we've been talking with...
Matt.
Matt, I'm going to...
The masses will always prevail against their exploiters. Nothing can stop the march of history and the road to socialism. So, solidarity and in struggle.
And there you have it. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. What was your name?
I'm Robert.
Robert.
It's on the card.
Awesome. Okay, have a good one, Robert.
All right. Thank you, man.
You say, I don't have the votes and I won't, so I must go away. You cry, you lose, there's no fraud, that's fake news, and I won't say goodbye. I'm so sad. Remember when I had a lead that they couldn't surmount? Now you're making me mad. magically it disappeared. Now I want a recount. I'll be back soon, you'll see. Coney Barrett, she belongs to me. I'll be back, time will tell. Pennsylvania can go straight to hell. I will rise, Joe will fall. All lives matter but mine most of all. And if you claim I'm done, I will send another China virus to convince you that I won. Blah 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 blah. You can't keep counting ballots after polls have closed. I don't care what the law says, they must be disposed. So no, don't take that ballot, 'cause it's a Biden ballot, a late illegal ballot, a trailing mail-in ballot. Another. I'll be back, I'll extort, I'll take each and every state to court. I'm a Trump, I'm a threat, I'm a narcissistic prick in debt. Counts are wrong, I am not. I won this election by a lot. And if you still dissent, I will kill democracy to remain the president. Blah 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 blah. Everybody, blah 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 blah.
And that was I'll Be Back, a Trump Hamilton parody. I've never heard Hamilton, so I'm not sure. I didn't rush out to hear it because I was sort of like a musical with Trump as the hero. I don't, not my cup of tea. So I'm hoping to get a quick interview with Scope It Out Scott Graham again, you know, our man who's keeping an eye on the city council's behavior or misbehavior, even though Scott has left town, driven out by rising rents and evictions, not for non-payment of rent, but because they're raising the rent and he can't afford to do it. Actually, I think they're selling out the place from under him and he can't afford to find another place in the same price range of, I don't know, what is it, $1,000 a month for a shed in the back or something like that. I don't know. It's a pretty modest, limited accommodation he had and a very expensive cost for that, but he was paying it anyway for quite a period of time. So, hoping to have him from where he's up north. I guess he's in the Humboldt County, Del Norte County area, and somewhere up there in the corner of the northwest corner of the state. Maybe we'll get a word from him soon. I just also spoke with a pirate, Marty Mirabel, who is continuing to receive the occasional unconstitutional citation for sleeping at night in spite of federal courts ruling in the Martin versus Boise situation and the CDC's ruling in the business of being able to, or being in everybody's benefit for people to be left alone, so they can shelter in place, which looks like it's rolling around again as a general edict for the entire community. And to me, that's it's a mixed bag. I am, you know, torn in several directions regarding things like the efficacy of masks and the efficacy of shutting down the economy, and its costs are not really being, I think, necessarily considered, or at least they're not being considered in a clear metric. I haven't seen that. That is, we hear a lot about the number of new COVID infections per day, and a more worrisome and more troublesome and more serious are the number of hospitalizations, the number of illnesses that actually are illness and not just a COVID 19 positive test, and even worse, deaths. That's a real issue. But there's not much following of the impact of the isolations produced by quarantines and shutdowns and the economies being stripped back on the general population. It's something I think needs to be, I don't know how you can quantify it, but it needs to be addressed specifically. So also out at the Food Not Bombs meal, the Thanksgiving meal today, I ran into Dreadeye. That's Randolph Tully, or Tully the Third, the guy who was seized by police. And he gave me an account of how he was essentially roughed up by the cops, even though he wasn't resisting them, even though he had his hands in the air. The interview that I did with him, unfortunately, did not survive, or maybe did not get made in the first place. I thought it was being made, but it apparently didn't make the audio recorder, strangely enough. Hope to get him later to talk about what happened. I took him to the police department's property room on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the only time folks whose property is taken by police, which is a sort of a regular thing with homeless folks when they get tickets. It's a total of 6 hours. I think it's two on Tuesday and four on Thursday, or vice versa. But a very limited amount of time you can get access to your property, but not on holidays. So old Dreadeye, as he's known to his friends on the street, is going to have to wait until next Tuesday to get his property, though he does have access to his vehicle, which his friends were able to save, although it apparently collected a number of tickets. In spite of what I had heard from a Food Not Bombs worker, that some court had ordered the ticketing not be done while he's in jail. I don't. Apparently, if that's the case, the police officers who were ticketing him didn't hear about it, or Dreadeye is mistaken about the citations. I'm not sure which. May get more accurate information later about some of that stuff. But let's move on now to the actual protest that happened in front of Deborah Elston's house. Again, reminding you, in case you haven't been listening or just tuned in, she's the volunteer police. I don't know if she's the head cheese, but she is the first. She's number 502 at the head of the volunteer list of police. Volunteer police, of whom there are 33 or so, as I mentioned earlier. And she was the one who ticketed, who has been apparently ticketing and harassing Alicia Colston's van. Alicia Cool's van. And she had an incident 2 weeks ago with one of Alicia's friends who was trying to document this harassment by photographing her. And her van then hit this guy. He demanded she wait until the police arrived, and she tried to drive away, but then, well, at least she insisted on driving away, but he demanded she stay. She finally did. Police came, and they let her go. And this demonstration then happened at her house the next week, which was last Monday. And it was done at about 6 o'clock in the evening, so it wasn't really done in a tit-for-tat way where you wake us up, we'll wake you up. It wasn't done at midnight. There wasn't a campsite set up in front of her house. But there was a demonstration involving about a dozen to 20 people at varying at different times, lasting for about 2 hours, and I'm going to play some of it. I was there for about an hour of it, and it was videoed as well by activist Wes White from Salinas. If you go to the Monterey County Homeless Advocates Facebook page, you can find that video. It's under the name, well, it's under the subscript, RVs Continue Being Targeted for Tickets in Santa Cruz. And it has, it's about 45 minutes long. And I'm also likely to play some more clips, some of the later, I don't know if we call it dialogue, but it certainly is pretty continuous educational protest in front of her house, where different individuals took the bullhorn and discussed their own concerns with her behavior. Elston was invited to come on out and answer some of the charges and explain why and how she was proceeding to do this, or you know, what kind of checks and balances were being used to make sure that she... The main kind of ticketing targeting we're talking about is improper and false reporting under the 72-hour storage law, which says you have to move your vehicle, I don't know, certain distance within 72 hours, or else you can get a citation for storing. And often what's been happening, apparently, according to reports we've gotten, is that people are getting either their tires chalked and warned by police that they'll be ticketed unless they move quickly, even when 72 hours is not up. And that is often done at the behest of nearby neighbors who simply don't like the idea or the visual presence of homeless folks in their vehicles. And the result, of course, is that people are getting tickets and getting threatened with their vehicles being towed, and then losing their homes and getting reduced to being on the street. Anyway, I'm going to play some of the recording that I made, and here it is, the recording of the protest that evening. So it's November 23rd, 2020, and I'm out here at 323 Major Street. I'm talking to a man who's looks like he's been swimming in soup. What's your name, sir?
I'm Keith the Soup Swimmer. Yep.
And Keith, I better put on my mask to make sure you don't infect me with COVID-19.
That would be a terrible situation.
And looks like we have, the whole party is arriving. This is the home of Debbie Olson, or at least she owns the property.
He's behind
us. He's around the corner.
It's nope. Pretty good if everybody stands around outside. Then it'll look like a lot of people are here, and that will be good.
We're talking about
the one that's dark attempted
to communicate with Deborah Elston. I didn't do it. I postponed my broadcast.
It doesn't make any difference. It's too funny. It means
she's a major bitch, though. Living right here can give you, I think, a sense of
awesome. So Alicia Cool has arrived with her party of people. We also have Wes White, who is nearby. Came from Salinas to a video event. And Keith, you had a difficult day today. What was that about?
Oh, God. Well, we have had a new ice chest to put the food in, and we stacked it. It was like misunderstanding, and the whole heavy 5-gallon hotel trays of food were like stacked on ones that weren't as heavy, and the whole thing flew across the whole van and flooded the van with 7 courses of food. It was like a nightmare. And then it was thrown so far that it was in crevices everywhere inside the whole van and soaked all kinds of condiments and cups and rice and...
Did the people get fed anyway?
Yeah, they did get fed. I went back, got a bunch of more food that was already, like breads and things like that to supplement what did survive. And it seemed like... And the thing was intense was there was a long line today at the meal.
Well, the end of the month is coming up.
Yeah, so that was hardcore. So I was like, wow, this is getting crazier and crazier. And then... So I did a lot of washing up the van and dealing with getting supplies and getting more. Then Seth made a bunch more food, so I went back and got more food and replaced the food that went. And then there was one of our people coming to eat hit the... I don't know if he was coming to eat, but he eats with us for years now. He hit the fire hydrant, and that exploded for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes or more. It was really intense.
He hit it with a vehicle or with
his vehicle, yeah. Yeah, it was, he turned the corner too tight and hit it and knocked it off the base. And it was just flying in the air, and it trashed his poor RV. It was too bad. Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You better get over there.
So we have some folks who are eager to communicate with Deborah Elston and let her know their concerns. She hasn't yet come out to greet the group yet or to communicate with them. But somebody has apparently been seen standing in the window of a house nearby. I'm not sure whose house it is. And
I recognize the little poofy like brat hair.
And so that makes a grand total of, I'm thinking there are six people present, particularly when the video journalist Wes White shows up. It's a cool evening. That we have a half moon out, and there is a lake right next to us. And so,
did you talk to Tony?
There is a. It's a very peaceful. It looks very upscale. The neighborhood, right next to Deborah's house, is a another house with a Christmas display up. And of course, it's not even near Christmas yet.
Oh my gosh! We're gonna give you a ticket. Mark her car. Mark her car.
Tickets for everyone.
Mark her car.
And the the ticketing squad here is. Yes, man on a skateboard has just arrived. And there's a...
We're getting it right now. Keep us going to get it for us.
Some more folks are gathering for this celebration of Deborah Elston's... or should we say attempt to communicate with her, but also to express, I guess... the opinion of folks who've arrived, some of whom are had the actual experience of being ticketed by Deborah Elston.
He shouldn't sit in front of her car. I'm like, well, you're standing in front of my RV right now. He's like, well, it'd be my responsibility to move. I said, well, you'd have to know I was going to hit you.
What the fuck?
Fucking asshole.
But I had a guy jump in front of me like maybe a year ago or a year and a half ago. I had a guy jump in front of me on West Cliff, and they claimed because I drove away that was me trying to hit him because he jumped in front of my car. But this lady can just run me over, and they try to turn it in and give me a ticket anyways.
This is Josh talking, the man who was struck by Deborah Elston's vehicle, or at least that's the report.
And say it was me for standing there.
And she's been writing tickets to homeless people, riding around
Alicia
targeting
Cool.
homeless people with multiple tickets in hopes that they'll get their homes towed away in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, it's messed up.
She's a horrible witch.
I mean, it all falls in line with the, you know, city's criminalization of the homeless. Yeah. I mean, think about it. There's, you know, how many cases of COVID right now? We're the number one country for infections. 200,000 people are getting sick every day. And this is what the city wants to do, is to push this lady out. That really, I mean, it makes sense. It falls in line.
That's an extreme exaggeration of the number of people getting sick. But it is a large number of people who are testing positive for COVID, and the number is rising in many places in this country. And over 250,000 have been found to be positive, and the number of actual deaths from COVID or COVID-related is over 250,000, according to the San Jose Mercury News.
With what they do, which is to criminalize the homeless and put people in jail.
Keeps ticketing me. She's trying to put us out on the street.
Yeah.
So you had a mask in your hand. I thought you maybe had a ticket or two you were going to show us.
Oh, well, I do, but I have the ones I've contested. I have two I have to stick in the mail. I should put them in her outgoing mail.
Did you bring your ticket book to ticket Deborah's vehicle, perhaps?
No. I should have brought one of those, like, those little invoice things from Office Max and, like, started writing them out.
We have a total now of about 6-9 cannabis, almost. Seven of us here, and two people are
right here on the left.
Coming.
She shut all the lights off.
She saw us. She's there, though. We saw her.
No, she's there. She wobbled to the house. Oh, nice.
Take it. So, have you heard of other people having the same experience, Alicia, with Deborah?
Yes.
How many people would you say you've spoken to have had this particular problem?
Well, I know she's targeting Leanne really bad.
There's that ticket, though.
Take a look. The dim light, of course, I can't see shit. But tell me what it says, since you've seen it before. What is it to tell us?
It's a ticket. It's a ticket for. I forgot what they called it again.
It's got a code section on it. It is signed by the full Deborah Elston.
What was it called?
Actually printed Deborah Elston.
Oh, right there. False imprisonment. That's right.
This is the ticket, Josh, that you got.
Yeah, because I stood out of my RV and stepped to the side of my RV and tried to take a picture of a car of a lady riding a ticket and not marking the tires. And then she tried to pull forwards and proceeded to run into me. And the officer said it was my fault for standing there and wrote me a ticket for false imprisonment.
Did you have any discussion or conversation with her at any time?
Not till afterwards, and then I told her I wouldn't let her leave after that because I was holding her for hitting me, and I was waiting for an officer of the law to show up. And then when they showed up, they wrote me a ticket.
And what did she say to that?
She told them, I don't know, actually, because they took her away from me.
No, what did she say to you, actually?
To me, she never actually spoke. It was the other two ladies. After she hit me with the car, they told me to get out of the road and get out of the way so they can leave.
And when you said no, you wanted to give a report to a police officer and make sure she didn't leave the sign of an accident or a criminal act, what did they say to you?
They just kept telling me to get out of the way, and I said no. And then finally, at one point, they said that if I just scooted over so they can pull off the side of the road, and I did that, the two ladies got out of the car, and the one lady pulled off the side of the road. And then I stood back in front of it again and wouldn't let him leave until the cops came.
And who was driving at that time?
Deborah
Elston?
Yes.
And you know it was Deborah Elston because you were familiar with her from a previous encounter, or somebody else identified her?
Yes, because she writes tickets a lot.
And when was the last time you saw her before that encounter you had with her? This is a week ago, Monday, we're talking about.
You know, I don't know the exact day, but probably just a few days before that. I see her a lot.
And when you last saw her before this incident, what was she doing?
Writing tickets.
And was she accompanied by the same crew of women, or was it another group?
It's actually normally just her or one other woman by themselves. They're not normally in a group like that. It was a group of three of them.
And was she writing tickets to a vehicle that had already been marked? Was she marking the vehicle? What this previous experience you had with her?
She was not marking it. She was writing it a ticket. She said that there's another way that she could that they have to prove that we have not moved the vehicle. But under the Vehicle Act, it specifically states you are required to chalk the tire at the ground level to show that the vehicle has not moved. Because just because you chalk my tire, well, there's 10 chalks on there from you guys chalking it. And when I pull away and pull back, that line could touch the ground again, and then you're going to say you already chalked my tire?
And this happened a week ago, last Monday, is that correct?
Yes. Hey. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Nice jacket.
Cool. Are you shooting a commercial, or what's the deal?
No, we're here for Deborah Elston, for protesting.
Oh, yeah?
And this was a couple of folks walking by. I think they were either on their bikes or walking their bikes, and there were a number of folks who walked by, so maybe they were walking their dogs. Maybe I mentioned it in the ongoing narrative. Let's keep listening.
Yeah.
Is she like sitting
out there? No, one of the neighbors, she's a volunteer.
She's trying to harass people and write tickets.
She's ticketing homeless people and trying to take their homes away.
The other day, she was in one of the police cars.
Speaker is louder than yours.
When I called when the cops showed up, the cops actually ended up giving me a ticket saying that it did not matter that she hit me with her car. That because I was standing in the road, it's called false imprisonment.
Joshua is explaining this to two people who are just passing by.
And so they wrote me a ticket for false imprisonment and let this lady just drive away.
Okay, mine is ticketed
for getting hit by a car.
Yeah. because I stood. They said because I stood in front of it. But now, if you look up my thing, like a year and a half ago, I fought a case on West Cliff where this guy jumped in front of my car. I tried to back up and pull around him like three different times.
Elton is a volunteer police officer. She's been working hard and diligently targeting
this is Alicia and Cool on the,
individuals
on the megaphone,
writing nonsense, useless tickets in hopes to take homeless people's vehicles and homes away in the middle of a pandemic and in the middle of the winter. We're here to tell Deborah Elston that her volunteer services are no longer needed in our community. We no longer need her to be a volunteer police officer.
Four more people are approaching.
She's not doing a community service. She's doing a disservice.
Yeah.
Putting homeless people out from their vehicle and onto the streets puts them at further harm.
Shame!
In the middle of a holiday season, Deborah Elston, shame on you.
Yes.
You come to our home, we come to yours. You're fired.
Yes.
Who wants to speak next? Here you go.
Because I can go on and on.
Go on and on, please. I don't until somebody else takes your place, of course.
Take it. Take it.
I haven't yet gathered my thoughts.
Deborah. As a homeless person, I think it's a pleasure and an honor that I haven't gotten a chance to meet you. But I am happy to be here now and hear about what you're doing to my community. What you're doing is actually perpetuating homelessness. You actually make it very difficult to get off the streets because you push people onto them with your...
And I'm not sure who this is, but she may give you some indication of what her situation is.
Because I don't think ticketing people and harassing them and forcing them to move around is going to help them not live in a vehicle. And when you tow those vehicles for nothing more than just trying to survive, then they're on your streets in tents, and they will also be relocated by the Santa Cruz Police Department, because that's another form of, I guess, the perpetuation of homelessness that the city of Santa Cruz is doing unto itself. And you're a really big part of that.
Shame.
So, yeah, shame. Shame on you.
Shame.
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 I also want to talk about November 15th, Deborah. You came to my RV to write a ticket, another one of your tickets, without chalking or even proving whether or not I'd been there for 72 hours again, in hopes that if you write enough tickets, you can tow my RV away, putting me and my family and my three children on the streets. I also want to talk about how we took a photo of you doing that, and you hit one of my family members with your police patrol vehicle intentionally.
Shame!
That was a disgusting abuse of power. You did that shit on purpose, and you know it. And that's a shameful thing that you did. You should have never been able to be behind a patrol vehicle in the first place, even as a volunteer. Shame on you, and shame on your next door tactics and all that other crap that you do too, to bash people and to judge them and try to target them and tell their whereabouts and all that crap you do. It's shameful. It's in bad spirit, and shame on you.
Shame! Yeah, where's your holiday spirit?
You're worse than the damn Grinch, Deborah Elston.
Yeah, at least your neighbors have colorful lights. You're just a Scrooge out ticketing people into the streets. I mean, how much you do not seem to realize, or you enjoy people's suffering, but send one person after another into tents and into the levee because you decided you would harass them out of their safety of their vehicle. That's outrageous. Families, you have you're incredibly cruel. And apparently you love being cruel, according to what you write on Nextdoor.com and what you censor. It sounds, it seems like you have a very mean spirit. And it's inappropriate for this holiday season at this time in a pandemic to have such a spirit.
You would think somebody in such a nice house as that would be out passing out, like, coats and blankets, not damn tickets.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Hey!
Shame.
I could see how you feel privileged and with your head held high with this nice house and this nice view,
But you know, you could be giving back to the community in a form other than putting harm to people. Shame on you, Deborah.
Shame.
And you justify it thinking you're doing a service, but you're not. And I'm here to let you know that.
Yeah, I hope your neighbors start talking to you about your cruelty. And just imagine if you went to your next door to your neighbor and woke them up and threatened to take all their furniture out of their house.
This, of course, is the voice of Keith McHenry.
That's what you're doing to people. Just because it's not a pretty fancy house like your neighbor's, it's the same thing. You wouldn't like it if your neighbor came over and took all your property and put it out on the street just because you didn't have the proper look or the proper income.
It's not humane, and it's not a solution towards homelessness either. What you're doing is just perpetuating the problem. You're a problem. A part of the never-ending story of problems. You're not doing a service to anybody.
Yeah, I'm concerned also, Deborah. You may have learned these bad tactics from Officer Joe Habe, who has been doing this for years to homeless people, as a way of essentially moving them out of the neighborhood and using a policy of low-intensity warfare against the poor, because it's a form of, it's not just cruel, but it can also be very unjust, and because specifically what you have here, and also kind of insane, or should we say unreasonable, because as these two previous... can you still hear me there? Can you hear me, Deborah? By the way, I'm interested in knowing your response to these concerns. I mean, if you'd like to come out here and discuss this with us, I'm
don't
sure...
Don't post it on Nextdoor. Come talk to us!
Yeah, I mean, here are people who are willing to talk to you, want to know what your reasons are, who want to know what resources you're offering in place of the vehicles that get taken away from people because they have no place to go, because they have no money to pay the fines that are leveled upon them. So maybe you have some answers to this. Maybe you can explain to us why this is really a public safety issue rather than an issue of gentrification and some kind of strange, simply attempt to drive those who aren't at your income level out of the area. Maybe to improve the, I don't know, your property values.
If I lose my RV because of Deborah Elston, I'm going to put my tent right here across from you guys, right here next to this lake, and you can thank Deborah Elston.
Yeah.
My tents are kind of loud, too.
We'll start sending people over here because might as well. There's millions of Americans going homeless now, so this would be a beautiful place where we could take a bath and everything like that, and we could have tents all along here. We'll get some portable toilets here, and then you can get
and this group is now expanded
nice
to 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
We'll bring you pies and things like that, because we'll make little pies on our little ovens over here by the beach.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. So, you know.
But let's not forget that the sad thing is that you would put a family of three children and mom, a working mom, out on the streets in the holidays. Let's talk about that. You would have no problem doing that. Why don't you come out and talk about that?
Shame!
Shame on you!
At least come out and tell us all your justifying nonsense. Well, I do it because I'm thinking I'm doing a good service. I do it because I'm good friends with Andy Mills. Tell us something.
Saw some movement, yeah.
And I would like to invite anybody else here who's either had been ticketed, not necessarily just by Deborah, but by police officers because of their vehicular situation or because they've been in other situations where simply being homeless, being unhoused outside, has been essentially, in their view, the reason that that's happened. Has anybody here had that experience? Or does anyone here have any friends who've had that experience? If so, I encourage people to come and speak about it because here's someone who apparently needs some education inside this building.
Yeah.
I can say, as someone that has been camping here in Santa Cruz for about 8-9 months now, our community keeps growing. Yeah, the homeless community in Santa Cruz keeps growing. And it's actually because of people like you and people like Andy Mills and the way that you handle homelessness. It not only perpetuates
homelessness. It actually creates it. It causes it. I really am glad that that got a moment to sink in, because you are a part of the reason that homelessness is becoming a bigger problem. You are making it so hard to get out of homelessness by constantly harassing homeless people. It's almost fucking impossible. I can say I have a job. I've been working 6 days a week since I've been on the streets, and it's so fucking hard because I keep having to uproot myself, and our community keeps growing because people keep getting their homes taken away by people like you, or even worse, you yourself. How awful is that? Are you against homelessness? Because you're causing it. Yeah.
Deborah, I currently sleep in my vehicle, and I really would be quite shocked if you've ever actually sat down and considered what it would feel like to sleep on concrete. Because if you really would come out and look me in the face and tell me that you would prefer that I sleep on concrete and try to figure out how to not freeze while I'm sleeping and try to get a good night's sleep to somehow positively impact just my normal psychological being, I'd really like to hear of your explanation of how that's going to be possible, especially in a place where the minimum to get a house is somewhere, you know, it's considered $1,000 a month is a cheap rent around here. So I mean, if you honestly, in your admin of Nextdoor, think what you're doing is good to your neighbors and good to your community, and you believe the best way to act is to turn your efforts against people who live a nomadic lifestyle, as if that's something that's wrong, I'd just be shocked if you could have a level-headed conversation with me and tell me that you would prefer that I sleep on the concrete when it gets down to about 40 degrees. Because as a person who doesn't live in a house or pay rent, I can't even begin to tell you just how much better it is to be protected from the elements by having a domicile, having a vehicle that allows you to not get rained on and have to replace everything you own, or worry about who's going to steal your stuff, or worry about whether the police are going to come and ticket your vehicle, or worry about whether the police are going to take away your vehicle. And if you consider it a good use of your extra time to become a volunteer to make that problem worse. And that's just incomprehensible to me. It's completely incomprehensible.
What? Hey, can someone take this? You take this,
Jerry? What a wreck.
Hey, I want to say, you know, right now we're in the middle of a world historic pandemic, and that's going to turn into a world historic economic collapse. We had a $1,200 pittance from the government while they're on vacation in the interim between Thanksgiving. So there's going to be a lot more people on the street coming up pretty soon that you're going to have to deal with, Deborah. Yep. And these contradictions are not going away. You know, and when the people get organized, like they did in the Philippines, I don't know if anybody heard about Kadamai, it's an organization that organizes the urban poor in the Philippines. They seized the empty housing in the Philippines, and they put over 20,000 people in homes. And you know, we can do that here, Deborah. Yes, I guarantee you we can do that here.
Won't you be my neighbor?
I'm also curious, as a Nextdoor admin, if you know, just what responsibilities come with that, because I'm pretty curious if tomorrow I post on Nextdoor, if by chance you might remove my post, because I'm not going to say anything that's not level-headed, but I get the sense that we're going to see on Nextdoor a pretty imbalanced look at things, just as has happened during election times, during other times. There's constant slews of posts that just make it look like all unhoused people leave gigantic piles of trash around them, which is completely not true at all. And just to perpetuate that straight stereotype that you're doing and to allow this on Nextdoor is really just creating this complete circle jerk that really just doesn't get anywhere. Yeah. And all it's doing is just perpetuating a stereotype that really needs to die. And like I said, as an admin for Nextdoor, I think most admins for Nextdoor are pretty, I guess, anti-housing, anti-unhoused folks.
I'm curious if you will be removing posts tomorrow that show up on Nextdoor that talk about what you did or ask you to, you know, give an explanation of what happened in your own words, because it seems a little messed up.
From what I hear, they remove anything that sticks up for homeless people or says anything about how terrible they are. They remove that and block people. So you essentially have to hate homeless people to be on Nextdoor.
Shame.
Guilty by association, if nothing else.
Guilty by association, if nothing else.
Cool.
Well, I guess you're not going to come outside. I'm curious what Santa Cruz Neighbors is. I'm sure you have a really pretty explanation of what that is. That, I don't know, it makes it sound like you care about people, but your actions show completely opposite. So, I'm curious about the organization Santa Cruz Neighbors, if you actually had, you know, like, if you had, like, a mission statement or something like that, because it seems like really all you want to do is just reinforce the worst parts of the police department. And I guess, unfortunately, the Santa Cruz police are right behind you on that. And
Deborah Alston is not only... apparently, pretty well. I don't know how important to figure she's in the volunteer police, but she's certainly has expressed a high, given a high profile in terms of her actions with respect to some people who've been getting her the brunt of her tickets. But she's also an administrator for. Nextdoor, a social media, as well as the organizer of Santa Cruz Neighbors, which has successfully put reactionaries on the Santa Cruz City Council, as well as organized forums supporting police department anti-homeless measures, such as Mill's most recent 7-point program, which it's kind of submerged during COVID-19 times, but it may be emerging from the swamp fairly soon. That I don't know. I have no schedule for that, but it worries me. For more information on the 7-point program, feel free to get in touch with Huff at 423-4833, 423-HUFF, or come to one of our Wednesday meetings, which happens every 11 o'clock every Wednesday, nearly at high noon, at the Sub Rosa Cafe next to the Bike Church. We're almost at the end of this broadcast. I'll play a little bit more of this protest session, education session in front of Deborah Elston's house, and then probably more of it on Sunday when there is another show, assuming I can work up the enthusiasm to do it.
And happy to help you out, so I don't know.
That group is so hateful. When I was running for city council, I would need to dignify them with a response and attend their forum. They can kiss my ass.
They can kiss Alicia's ass.
Yay! Kiss my ass.
I'm curious. Did you run out of ideas of how to spend your free time? I mean, is that the first volunteer thing you could think to do, is to become a volunteer ticket writer? That's...
She's also a volunteer witch, but we don't want her either. So there's that.
Okay. Yeah. If you look at the state of the world, if you really are like, oh, you know, I have some extra time. I'm gonna. What am I gonna do with my extra time? Oh, I think I'll write tickets on people's cars to make their lives harder. That to me says that you wrote a list of what needs to be addressed in this world, and somehow that came up for you, that's surprising, because there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world right now.
Yeah. And we'll be hearing more about that bad stuff, perhaps Sunday at 9:30. Tune in.